Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We have a manager here in town who replaced a legendary manager here in town, and our Cleveland Guardians continue to roll right along, and I think Stephen Vogt's come in and done a very nice job. And it makes you, has made me think, okay, the importance of a manager in Major League Baseball. What's the deal, especially in this day and age? And I'm very happy to say a gentleman who has written a book on that very subject joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The book, Skipper, Why Baseball Managers Matter and Always Will. And I'm anxious to get into it with Scott Miller because in this day and age, I wonder how that role has changed. Scott, good to have you with us. Thank you.
Hey, Scott.
Scott, you with us?
Hey, yes.
There he is.
Yeah, you disappeared for a while.
There we go. Glad you're with us now. In this day and age, the managerial position is certainly different. First of all, what inspired you to write the book?
Well, you know, over the last several years, you know, I'm sure you guys have been in conversations. I've been in conversations. You know, people in baseball talk. You know, there's all the talk about how important is the manager anymore? You know, what does he do? Are they reduced to middle managers who just listen to the baseball ops department? And then, of course, you know, there's that big segment of people who are like, you know, half of the managers don't even write the lineups. I bet they get them handed to them from the baseball ops department. And after enough of those conversations over the last several years, since analytics especially has come into the game, I've covered baseball 35, 40 years, and I've watched managers come and go, and I've watched the game from all aspects. And, you know, I kept hearing these conversations, and I thought, you know, that's a pretty darn good topic to dive into, take a deep dive into. So, you know, one thing led to another, and I've been fortunate enough over all those years to, you know, establish relationships with, be it, you know, Bruce Bochy, Terry Francona, you know, Kevin Cash, who you name them, the older guys, the newer guys. And, you know, so I set out to work on the project, and fortunately, you know, the managers, you know, you get a baseball people talking baseball, and they go pretty good. You know, everybody enjoys talking baseball. So I had some fun with it, had some, you know, hopefully we'll have some success with the book. Hopefully people like it.
All right. So what was your main feeling? How does it actually work?
In the words of Dodgers manager Dave Roberts, collaboration, I think, is probably the best way to put it. You know, I mean, there's no doubt about it that the manager's job today is not what it was years ago. I mean, if you look at the Cleveland Guardians roster over the years, you know, just look at the roster of managers, you know, one to the next to the next. Well, the job Stephen Vogt is doing today and the job Terry Francona did in his last few years, totally different than the job, you know, going back to when, say, Frank Robinson managed as a player manager in the mid-70s or, you know, Mike Hargrove in the 90s. You know, it's just different because of the way the game has changed. And it's, I don't think it's necessarily any less important than it used to be. But, yeah, how it works is the managers today don't have all the autonomy. They're not going to, you know, make every single last decision. The collaboration comes in with the front office, of course. And there are going to be certain philosophies that an organization has that the manager will be expected to carry out. And part of that is the job of manager today, communication and human relations, probably way more important. You know, there's some skill. Those are part of the skill set now that guys like Earl Weaver didn't necessarily have to have. Mm. But you have to have them today because, among other things, if you're carrying out any wish of the analysts, you've got to be in that clubhouse. You've got to sell it to the players. You've got to make the players feel like they own it and they're buying into it. But it's a fine line because, you know, as you guys know, as soon as a manager loses respect in the clubhouse, he's done. And if the players, while a manager's doing what I just said, if the players view him as just a puppet of the front office, then there goes the respect in a heartbeat, you know, right away. So it's a fine dance the manager does today. I don't think strategy is quite as important in the hiring process as it was. You know, I mean, 1980, you know, you might try to hire a Sparky Anderson because you think he's going to outmanage the other guy across the field. Like, he's going to manage rings around him. Whereas today, a lot of strategy is the same, right, because of analytics. You know, very few teams now buy into the sacrifice bunt or the hit and run. Nobody wants to give up and out. So it isn't so much, you know, you're looking for a wily old guy that's going to outsmart the other guy, as you need somebody to establish a culture within your club, lead the club, and at the same time do what I just said about, you know, communicate and relate well with people.
Scott Miller is joining us. He is the author of a book that's just now out, Skipper, Why Baseball Managers Matter and Always Will. And I was just going to ask you about what you just touched on a little bit, Scott. Would you describe the job now in comparison to, say, 40 years ago as more managing of people or managing of baseball? I think in the past it might have been more managing of baseball. Is that accurate?
Right. I think so, and absolutely now it's managing people. You know, one example I use, you know, it's funny, Earl Weaver and Sparky Anderson. And the book, by the way, picks up. It kind of starts in the late 1970s for a couple reasons. You know, that's when kind of the peak managers, at least of the past few generations, occurred. And, you know, like Dave Dombrowski told me, that, you know, he was a young guy working with Tony La Russa with the White Sox in the early 80s. And eventually, as they knew each other, like Dombrowski said, you know, managers used to be known by one name. Like, all you had to do was say Sparky or Earl or Tony, like La Russa. And, you know, players, fans, everybody knew who you're talking about. And that happened a lot in the late 70s, you know, Sparky Anderson, Earl Weaver, Billy Martin. So I started the book then for that reason, to take a look at these authoritarian-type managers, but also because in the late 70s, that's when the first computers, they were rudimentary, nothing like now, but when the first computers were offered to the public for sale. So I kind of look at the growth of, you know, obviously mostly baseball, the change in baseball, but mixing a little bit of the growth of computers from the late 70s to now, and it looks at what the job of the manager was back then, what it is today, and how we got from then to now, and why we got from then to now. And, you know, back in the day, Sparky and Earl, they did not want to get to know their players. You know, there was a distance there. You know, and Sparky Anderson always used to say, well, if I get to know any of these guys too well, there's going to come a day when I have to release them or trade them. And it's going to be really hard if I have, you know, basically a personal relationship with them. So they kept it, you know, all things business. Dan Petrie, part of the Tigers' 84 World Series rotation, World Series winning rotation, you know, he told me when he first came up, his first several years in the league, he said, I never wanted to go in Sparky's office. We were scared of that guy. He said the only time anybody ever got called into Sparky's office was either to get informed you were being demoted to the minor leagues or to tell, you know, you were getting chewed out for something you screwed up in that day's game. And he said, that was it. You never got called in for a pat on the back or anything like that. Whereas today, you know, like Dave Roberts out in Los Angeles, you know, he makes it a point, as he says, touch each one of his players sometime from the afternoon to first pitch. And by touch, he means have some kind of interaction. It might just be a eye contact with you, Jeff. Hey, Jeff, how's your day going? Or, yeah, then I run into Andy and, you know, Andy, hey, I know your wife has been kind of sick. How's she doing? Is she better? It could be anything from that. You know, when Walker Buehler was there, Walker was from Kentucky. They might talk a little bourbon.
Or a lot of bourbon.
All that, communications and relationships. And you know, that's the difference from when guys like Sparky Anderson, Earl Weaver didn't even want to get to know their players. Now managers have to because they need buy-in from them.
Scott, and this is very Cleveland-centric, so if you don't have the big answer, and this is not a big deal, but you know, like I'm listening to you list off all of these names, and a ton of them have ties to the Indians and Guardian system. And it's almost like a Hank Peters, John Hart, Mark Shapiro tree. We started the season with 10 managers in Major League Baseball that had some sort of tie, and then Bud Black and Derek Shelton both got their walking papers during the season. And so I'm just wondering, do you see that tree, and is it almost a Guardians Indians influence in the way that this whole thing has trickled out?
Absolutely, I see that tree. And it, not just what you just mentioned, I also saw it from the standpoint, and I mentioned this in the book, Terry Francona, when he was managing Cleveland, not just guys that came through Cleveland's system, but I mentioned in the book that Francona, I think it was going into the 2003 season, there were like 9 or 10 managers that played for Francona or coached for him, mostly played. So you kind of got that dichotomy going there where what you just mentioned, you got all these Cleveland connections in managers today, and tied in with that, you got a lot of Francona connections. And obviously Francona and Cleveland managed together. So, I mean, Francona managed in Cleveland. So you got double duty on those connections. So yeah, I think Cleveland's been at the forefront of especially the past decade or so of, you know, having a really good baseball operations system and being able to identify managers that are going to work seamlessly with that baseball operations system. And obviously identify some really good people, not only for their own organization, but people that have come through Cleveland, as you said, have worked, you know, worked out wonderfully for the most part, managing elsewhere. And the two you mentioned, this year, I mean, I don't want to be just an apologist for managers since I just wrote the book, but I would say Bud Black and Derek Shelton, that's way more on ownership and the organizations not having any vision at all than it is on Bud Black or Derek Shelton individually.
Scott Miller joining us. He is the author of the book, Skipper, Why Baseball Managers Matter and Always Will. Last thought, did you, after writing the book, doing all the research, anything strike you in particular about maybe the best attribute a current major league manager could have?
Yeah, I mean, a couple things. You know, what we talked about, you know, interpersonal communication skills, human relations skills, that in particular. You know, like Bruce Bochy told me, because he's managed long enough now, he kind of goes back to the authoritarian days, but also obviously has worked very well under the current days. You know, Bochy said the biggest difference is when I first started managing, you used to just tell players what to do. And he said, now it has to come with an explanation because it's a different generation. They've all come up through travel ball or whatever it is. They've all been specializing in baseball for so long. They've all had their private coaches that, you know, they just want to know, hey, you want me to do this? Well, why? What do you think? What's the reason? And, you know, so that all falls under the communication skills. I think patience, obviously, because a lot of these guys, you know, they're the front men for the organization, which I also think is why all 30 managers today, they may have varying degrees of talent, but they're all pretty nice guys, and that's there for a reason. You can't be like Billy Martin was, because every press conference now, post-game press conference, is televised, and organizations want a certain look. And, you know, you can't have a manager that's going to jump down somebody's throat and drop a bunch of F-bombs if they ask the wrong question. And that's been one huge change as well. Today, everything's a little bit more vanilla, a little more antiseptic, because, you know, even if a reporter ask some egregiously stupid question, mostly you're not going to have a manager jump down his throat or drop a bunch of F-bombs on him. So, you know, probably being a fairly nice, personable guy helps today. And I'd say sense of humor. I'm a big sense of humor guy, but you guys saw Terry Francona for years up close. Kevin Cash down in Tampa Bay, kind of like a mini me with Francona. Mm-hmm. Humor works pretty well today, too.
Why do you think that it's always ownership's like, okay, we're going to fire the manager when things... Because it was funny when you were talking about Bud and you were talking about Derek. Why is that always the go-to? Oh, we'll just get rid of the manager.
Because it seems so much bigger than that.
Yeah.
I think because it's the easiest. The easiest in that you can just lop off one guy and send a message both with your action and then when you go out and publicly talk. You know, send a message to the fans, hey, we understand your frustration. Tough year. We're making moves to change things. And firing managers kind of the easiest, most obvious way to go. But the interesting thing, too, is I think what's been notable about this year in the managerial firings is there have been more already than there has been the past few years. I think overall we're not seeing as many managerial firings because managers – are pretty much joined at the hip now with baseball operations departments. And we've seen a lot over the years where maybe a team's not winning. And in the old days, they would have gassed the manager. Whereas, you know, today, sometimes a manager can get by for a few years not winning because the front office has a good relationship with him. They trust the manager. They know he's going to, you know, be copacetic with their wishes. They trust him with what he's going to say to the public. He's not going to, you know, throw anybody in particular under the bus. And so if there's a good symbiotic relationship between the manager and the front office, you know, I think for the most part, managers given a little bit longer chain these days than they used to be. And like I said, but I think that's what makes it notable, the firings this year.
Scott, how's the book been going over?
You know, I haven't. It just came out last Tuesday. I don't know anything about sales numbers, and that's not my department. But I will say, the early reviews, guys, have been like way better than I could have asked. I mean, I've just been blown away by some of the early reviews. Yeah, I mean, I mean, like, if I would have ghostwritten a review and sent it to somebody, like that somebody, what they wrote for a review is better than I would have ghostwritten. So that's been really, really gratifying.
Oh, that's awesome.
People do seem to be enjoying it.
That's awesome. He is Scott Miller. His book, Skipper, Why Baseball Managers Matter and Always Will. It's out now. Get it, read it, and then write a review that Scott would be really proud of. Perfect. Scott, thanks for your time today.
Appreciate it.
We appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott.
Scott joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Today's manager to me, you know, and Scott was hitting on a time when, you know, we were younger, or kids paying attention to baseball, you know, and you've got Earl Weaver as a manager.
Right.
You got Billy Martin as a manager. You've got these guys who you knew and had been around a while and everything else. And it seemed like, you know, they were clearly the boss. And it just feels different now, Andy. You know, it feels like these guys are part of the system. And as Scott said, you know, not necessarily regurgitating everything the analytics department tells them to do, but still, it feels more like a cog in the machine rather than the switch that's running the machine to me. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. I the whole dynamic of everything was like, I thought the parts about Sparky Anderson were great that he was talking about, because the way, like, even the way we looked at Mike Hargrove, or, you know, so I'm trying to, Jim Leland was another guy. Like, you think about that old gritty manager, mm-hmm. That would come out, or Weaver, that they were about the game. And then, like, the whole conversation about, hey, no one wanted to go into Sparky's office because they only thought bad things happened in there. I totally can see that.
Yeah.
But I also see, and maybe this is why I was a little hesitant on Grover, but that there's a shift and a tide, and whether you realize it or not, and now I really want to read his book, that influence that came from here, from your hometown, through the Indians, had a major, major impact on Major League Baseball. Because, you know, again, talking about 8 current managers that either played here or coached here at one point, we started the season with 10. A couple weeks ago, I was looking through and I was like, when you look at the front offices, or, you know, people who are general manager or general manager type is what I like to call them now, because they're president of baseball operations and they have a general manager, like 1/3 of the game has that influence from the Indians or Guardians, you know, as the future plays out. And the game has been redefined from the corner of Carnegie and Ontario. The impact is overwhelming.
There's been a major impact, that's for sure.
Yeah, and to hear somebody who writes for the New York Times say that, it just gives validity to everything that I've thought over the last couple of years. The hard part about that is that we haven't seen the World Series from there, right? And so what's the ultimate return on investment when you see all of its great minds that have been here, but yet here you're one rain delay away against the Cubs, or you're one play away against Miami or Florida, the Marlins, you know? And so that's like, okay, great idea, great minds, everything, but can that get you over the edge? And I always find that interesting.
I asked Dan this during the break, and it just feels this way to me. I don't know if it's really the case or not, because if you take a look at the guys who are managing in the big leagues right now, there are a lot of guys who played in the big leagues. I don't know that you knew them as big-time players in the big leagues or not, but I was just kind of wondering, does it feel like there are more guys managing now who had obscure playing careers, you know, not big time players, but then got into the system and they were a hitting coach in A-ball and blah, 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 and worked their way up and have become part of the organizational system. And I could make the argument either way on that. It just kind of feels that way to me. I don't know that that's the case, you know, because there are some guys clearly that, you know, that played in the big leagues that are managing right now and we're good players. But there are a number of guys who you think, well, that guy came out of nowhere, but up through the system. However, that's happened in the past. You know, Earl Weaver was you know, came up. Right? Tommy Lasorda pitched a little bit, but then he went back into the Dodger system and came up. And, you know, Billy Martin was a good player. Walter Alston just came up through the system.
But, Jeff, no, as you're saying, how many of those guys were great players?
Not a lot, but
I'm looking through the list. Like
you could make the argument that great players don't make great managers.
I'll always say that. I'm a firm believer that catchers do make good managers.
Well, they have to see the game a different
everything.
Way.
Yeah, they're forced to see the entire game. They're forced to watch every pitch. They're forced to know what works, what doesn't work, how to set an infield. I'll always be a big proponent of someone who's a catcher being a manager.
You could take a look at the managers in the American League right now.
And for the most part, they can understand what it's like to struggle at the plate.
Who was the best player of the managers in the American League? Probably Aaron Boone.
Rocco Baldelli, maybe?
I think Booney probably had a better career.
Who would you take
than Rocco
in a pickup game? Would you take Booney?
Or
would you? He had one gigantic play. He had a really bad basketball career during his baseball career.
I think
career.
Booney had the best overall career of those guys.
Rocco Baldelli or Aaron Boone? Who would you take?
Career-wise?
Baldelli had a higher ceiling, but sadly ran into health problems.
Yeah. Trying to look. Marcotte was good.
Marcotte was really good for him.
Yeah.
He was good for the A's.
And if you look in the National League, you could, you know, make arguments about guys, but there's nobody who jumps off the page. It's like, yep, this was the guy. And
can I still hate Craig Counsell?
Yeah, you're allowed. He's supposed to be a really nice guy, though.
Yeah.
Pride of Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh, well, then I like him.
Then he's good.
Does he know how to ice fish?
Probably.
All right, then
odds
I'm in.
Are high.
I'm in.
You're from a place called Whitefish Bay. I mean,
does he have a shanty?
I might. Okay. I could see it.
All right. Well, then I'm in. He'd Sorry about all those bad things I've hated about you from your days down in Florida.
He'd have made Whitefish Bay.
Nothing.
Nothing, Dan?
No, not even a rim shot.
Had they put 15 more
Getting
miles
there.
Behind her?
Yeah.
Getting there. I only have two hands.
Your joke just wrecked.
Do you...
Edmund.
I'm impressed that the Guardians went out and hired a guy to replace Terry Francona, who has stepped in and seemingly was very prepared for the job, even though it looked like he was incredibly not prepared for the job based on a really, really short resume.
Yeah.
I think they landed a good guy. I mean, Stephen Vogt knows what he's doing. And I think Stephen, though he had a nice playing career, fits a lot of what Scott Miller was just saying, as you know, you're the face and everything else. He's kind of like the public corporate face of the organization, which a head coach or a manager always is.
Always. Said that.
However, I think he fits that role better than we thought he might. I mean, take a look. You want to see Stephen Vogt as to who Stephen Vogt probably really is? Look at some of the stuff he did on MLB Network with our buddy Chris Rose, and some of the funny stuff he did. You don't see a whole lot of that out of him. What you see is plenty of corporate speak, but in a direct, legit way. You know, it doesn't sound like he's talking in circles or anything. He gives you pretty good answers, and I think he's done a really nice job, not just managing his team and his people, but managing the position as well. And I'm impressed that he's done that without a whole lot of experience past his playing days. Baskin and Phelps, you're on the Fan.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.